Then he understood. He got out of bed and with automatic movements began to get dressed. Then he went up to the bed where his wife slept and touched her brow with infinite tenderness. She opened her eyes, and it seemed to me that her lips were brushed by a smile. Then he went to his children's beds and woke them swiftly, dragging them from their dreams. I fled. Time passed very quickly. It was already 4 o'clock in the morning. My father ran to right and left, exhausted, comforting friends, running to the Jewish council to see if the edict had not been revoked in the meantime. To the very last moment, a germ of hope stayed alive in our hearts. The women were cooking eggs, roasting meat, baking cakes, and making knapsacks. The children wandered all over the place, hanging their heads, not knowing what to do with themselves, where to go, to keep from getting in the way of the grown-ups. Our backyard had become a real marketplace. Household treasures, valuable carpets, silver candelabra, prayer books, Bibles, and other religious articles littered the dusty ground beneath a wonderfully blue sky. Pathetic objects, which looked as though they had never belonged to anyone. By 8 o'clock in the morning, a weariness like molten lead began to settle in the veins, the limbs, the brain. I was in the midst of my prayers when suddenly there were shouts in the street. I tore myself from my phylacteries and ran to the window. Hungarian police had entered the ghetto and were shouting in the neighboring street, "All Jews outside! Hurry!" Some Jewish police went into the houses, saying in broken voices, "The time's come now. You've got to leave all this." The Hungarian police struck out with truncheons and rifle butts to right and left, without reason, indiscriminately.